Out on the Limb with Dr. Nicola Bird in partnership with Beauty and Wellness TV, your one stop for leading a happy, healthy, and successful life. Celebrating life and illuminating mind, heart, body, and soul.
Welcome, welcome. I am Dr. Nicola Bird. I am a psychotherapist and I am the founder of Self-Imaging Therapy. Thank you for being here with me today at Out on the Limb. We're here to celebrate life, to illuminate the mind, the heart, the body, and the soul. We have a great show today. The theme is the miracle of love. Beautiful topic for us today, starting with my first very special guest, Kay Falls. Kay is the author, professor, and animal activist who writes about our connection to animals and the natural world and has helped people to change their lives to happier outcomes. Kay is here today to share insights into how we can learn to expect and accept miracles in our daily life. Kay, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Nicola.
I'm really happy to have you on today and to really explore this topic because a pet is certainly a great friend for many people. And after a difficult day, pet owners can quite literally feel the love. In fact, for nearly 25 years, research has shown that living with pets provides health benefits. Pets can help to lower blood pressure and lessen anxiety. They boost our immunity. They can even help you get dates walking in the park with your dog. So in your book, Flash's Song is an ode to your dog. You talk about the miracle of love, faith, and the power of forgiveness. So this is really, really powerful. Tell us about that relationship.
Well, I want to go back to one thing you said, too, that how dogs make us so much healthier. They're so good for us. My relationship with Flash continued a relationship that I've had with little strays, rescuing dogs. So he was literally dumped from a car window, and my sister sent him to me. And he continues this idea of helping others, and we help ourselves. Flash was diagnosed with a tumor on his spine in his 12th year. So that's really the crux of the book, and what I share with people is what happened then. You know, he was given 3 weeks to live. And obviously we had a strong relationship up until that point, but something shifted and I started changing how I viewed not only disease, but everything, life itself. And it had to do with loving everything out there.
Well, that's really, I definitely want to hear more. Expand on that. Because how did that create transformation for you and create so many shifts?
Well, I would say that before Flash's illness, I believed that love could heal. After Flash's illness, I knew that love could heal. I have houseplants in my house, for instance, and, you know, we all get busy, that sort of thing. And if I neglect them, I'm not thinking about them, I forget to spritz them or something, I can literally see those plants just kind of folding over. When you talk to them and give them love, they blossom. So that's just one little example. And, you know, I know there are people out there who would think that's just nuts, but I think what I like to try to tell people is, you know, find out, do it for yourself. When you start showering all beings, your pets, your spouse, your kids, your coworkers with love, you know, looking around you, I think we can always find something to appreciate, something to love, something to be grateful for. And then you see if your life doesn't absolutely shift for you. You're happier. When you're happier, you attract better things. It's fun to be in love with all of life. So I care very deeply for the environment and Mother Earth and the animals. So that's where I've devoted the majority of my work, is to helping not only dogs and cats, but also factory farmed animals and animals in laboratory testing.
Well, I think just the whole principle of love is of course, it's just so powerful, and that nowadays, because we're so urban, I think that a lot of the mindsets have moved away from like a connection to nature or an intimate, immediate relationship. Like we buy our food in grocery stores. We're not growing it. We are. So we don't have, I think maybe past generations might, in saying those things, might have had an easier like relationship because it was just so much more immediate. But we've changed so much. I think it's so important for us to really maintain that kind of connection or open ourselves up to that understanding, that whole powerful interconnection of everything, because without that, we are really not just hurting ourselves and hurting others, but hurting the planet as a whole.
Absolutely. I love what you say, because you touch on a few really important things, and one is the interconnection of all beings, of species, plants, everything, animals, humans, and then two, getting out into nature, because it's so easy in today's world with our little devices and all that to become lost in that and not put your bare feet down onto the earth. And then you talk about the grocery stores, and there are movements across the country, of course, getting back to local and growing our own food, but boy, do I know. I'm fortunate that I do live in the country and I have a garden. So this morning, for instance, I picked a cucumber off the vine, and there's just nothing better. But I would, you know, urge people or parents maybe with kids, well, one, for all of us, we need to find that quiet time, that stillness, because then we can tap into not only nature, maybe if we're sitting outside, but our own intuition, our own inner wisdom, which is so important. It's immense. And then, two, I'd say just get outside into nature. That's, I think, vitally important for us as humans to understand our connection to all beings and sort of Mother Earth and the universe.
I think it's very important. I think it's crucial. It's because, again, so much destruction comes when we lose that connection and the connection to everything. Another element in your book that I'd love to explore is that your talk about miracles and your whole understanding and exploration of miracles and us being able to channel it and bring it and make it a natural part of life. So you remove it from something kind of out there and supernatural to something very intimate and personal and also doable.
Right. And so some people, the word miracle might not be the right word, but I use miracle to mean something that you think cannot be possible. For instance, the doctors, all the vets, many different specialists said, you know, this dog is incurable. He has 2 or 3 weeks to live. And of course, initially, I got caught up in that. So really, you know, there were two roads I could have taken with Flash: to sink into worry or despair, or to know that we all exist on a different level from our physical bodies. So I back up a little bit. So the miracles, I think we have to get used to thinking that miracles aren't an exception or they're not some great, fabulous thing. They can be. Mm-hmm. But if we start noticing the small miracles in our life, or then we're much more open to receiving larger ones. And I think that's what happened. So you start becoming deeply grateful for the little things, no matter what it is. You know, I've seen in some of the books out there, like a parking space, that, you know, I don't really consider that a miracle. But okay, whatever makes you grateful or whatever you're looking for, to be grateful for that and to be aware of it. I notice a lot in nature, you know, I'll see the flowers, and I'm not saying that they're miracles, but when you start thinking about it and you see all these different colored flowers, they're pretty amazing. So I think it's a mindset that we start getting used to. We start looking at small things as miracles, and then we open ourselves up to receiving these, the greater ones, which is what happened with Flash. He did live longer than 3 weeks. I took him back to the vets, and they all said, well, it's a miracle. So they used that very word.
Right, right. Well, a lot of things that you said that is very powerful. Does us changing our lens and our mindset to really appreciate and see the miracles in small things, because the fact is they are miracles, just that we're taking them for granted. life is a miracle. We take it for granted, and it's really moving beyond that to embracing just the immense power and beauty and amazingness that is part of every breath that we have. I love that principle and shifting that lens. I certainly want to ask why you think what made Flash live longer. You go back to the love. The 3-week prognosis, what prolonged his life?
Right, and I shifted, I did a lot of holistic remedies and such that I'm happy to talk to people if there are people who maybe have dogs or cats or human loved ones with cancer. You know, I have a website. I'd be happy to suggest what I did. But I can tell you right here on the show that love is hugely powerful, and I'm not the first person to say this. Dr. Bernie Siegel's a friend, and he's done amazing work with love, the power of healing through love. So it's certainly been documented in the scientific community. And again, if people listening, somebody has cancer, so, or anything, any illness, the first thing is just not to get caught up in it. Almost it's as if we shifted in our minds. It's like, okay, you've been told you have a bad diagnosis of something. Do you have to believe it? If you and I are healthy right now and somebody says, oh, guess what, you have, you know, so-and-so and it's something dire, all of a sudden we're going to get scared. You know, we're human. We will do that initially. And who knows how that shapes the genes and whatnot going on inside of you. So the reverse is also true. If you're given a diagnosis, you don't have to go there with it. So with Flash, I shifted my mindset, and I got out of the fear and the worry, and that was certainly affecting him. And, of course, I showered him with love. I showered him with love before, but it was different. It was a way of seeing the world like we've been talking about. And that, I think, more than anything, you know, you sort of clean out any negativity within yourself, and then you can feel it. It's just this, you're this sort of radiant light, and that is the power to heal.
Well, that's very, it's certainly very inspirational and very insightful. It really shifts like just how much we really can impact or affect the world around us. And the biggest personal shift that you got out of this that enhanced and enabled your life.
Right. And, yes, I'd like to say that helping a stranger's dog in our darkest hour really helps us. That would happen to me time and again, and not just with Flash, with different dogs that I've had in my life over the years. And I can remember rushing into emergency vets with emergencies, and there would be a stranger with an animal in worse situation than I was, and reaching out and helping. And amazing things happen, and sometimes not right on the spot, but then later down the road, and you start seeing the connections. And that's another thing with, you know, we're talking about the miracles, is to look for the signs, just to be open. And that gets back into being with nature, and it gets back into taking time to be silent, to be still. And I don't just mean physically still, but we have to quiet our minds, which is the hardest part. But then we can be open to the signs. I just lost a dog that I write about in the book. She died, Chance, and I'd had her very long. This happened 2 weeks ago. I always told her I love you more than words can say. And the day after I had to put her to sleep, she was old, very old, but I met with a wine rep because I write about wine as well. And the very first bottle he put down, we were to taste 10, had as its label, more than words can say. So just this little beautiful confirmation. I had asked Chance on the way driving in to give me a sign. And again, it, you know, for people who don't maybe buy into all this, it can sound kind of kooky. But it's very validating. And It feels very pure, and there's always love connected to it.
Well, that's just so beautiful because the understanding and the knowledge that love is in so many places, it's about us being open to it, that it's not limited to one thing or one aspect or someone or something. There's so many places for us to access love and to embrace it. It's up to us to open. It's up to us to embrace it. It's up to us to receive it. And we can make that shift and choice in our lives. So that's a very, very powerful message that I'm so happy that you're sharing with listeners today. Kate, it's been amazing having you. Can you give us, as a final takeaway, a message for the listeners on how they can really embrace miracles in their lives?
Yes, I would say to everybody, just no matter what you're going through, to find something to appreciate, to be grateful for, and something to love. And I think everybody has that. I think everybody has more than just one thing. To just live each day in the present moment, because that's all we have, focusing on love and gratitude. And if your loved one is sick, don't despair. Just shower him or her with love and practice that love and gratitude. It's very real. It's very beautiful.
Very beautiful. Wow. Well, you can find out more about Kay at her website, kayfatz.com. That's KAYPFALTZ.com. Her information is in the message board below, so you can certainly click on it and find out more about her. Kay donates 100% of her profits back to animal rescue and welfare organizations. So please check out her website and find out more about Kay and the amazing work that she is doing. Thank you, Kay, for being on the show and offering all your insights and your incredible message to us today.
Thank you, Dr. Bird. I enjoyed it.
It's been a pleasure. Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you. Wonderful message from Kay. And it's just so heartening and just so inspiring to know how many ways that we can be open to love and create love in our lives. And the limitation exists only because we close ourselves off from the opportunity to be connected to love and to miracles in our life. I have so much more wonderful insights to offer today. Just a quick break. We have an amazing guest, Corinne Zupko. Corinne is a counselor and mindfulness meditation teacher, and she's going to share her incredible insights right after this short break.
If you want the best way to heal from life challenges, get Erica Tucci's powerful book, Radiant Survivor, How to Shine and Thrive Through Recovery from Stroke, Cancer, Abuse, Addiction, and Other Life-Altering Experiences. Erica Tucci's remarkable book of healing is available now on Amazon. Find out more at www.radiantsurvivor.com.
Welcome back. You're tuned in to Out on the Limb Radio with Dr. Nick the Bird. My next guest is Corinne Zupko. Corinne is an adjunct professor of counselor education and the author of the forthcoming book, From Anxiety to Love. She will share her mindfulness tools with us today. Corinne, wonderful to have you here. Thank you for joining us.
Hi, Dr. Bird. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, it's such an important topic that you bring to us, because anxiety disorders are the most common mental illness in the U.S., affecting 40 million adults age 18 and older. So that's 18% of the population. And anxiety disorders are highly treatable, and yet only about one-third of those suffering receive treatment. I know that you, too, struggle with anxiety. So I'm really grateful for you to be on this show to share this with us today. Can you tell us a little more about your own personal struggle?
Sure, absolutely. So I really like to be open about this because there is such a stigma still about mental health issues and about seeking help. And so I feel like it's really important to sort of be a face that says, hey, you know, I appear to be okay, and yet there's been a lot behind the scenes that's happened. So back when I was in college, I was a sophomore in college, and I learned that a student who I didn't even know died very suddenly of meningitis, and it unraveled me at the seams. I was like, how can somebody be at a party one night and dead the next morning? And I sort of just completely fell apart, had my very first panic attack. And although that was really my first time having a really significant episode, anxiety was really nothing new. I sort of had bouts of, you know, intense worry throughout my life pretty much since I was born. So, you know, it was something that my mom wasn't actually surprised once I sort of broke down with these panic attacks because, you know, again, there had been signs and sort of symptoms showing up, you know, as I was growing up, even though I had counseling and that sort of thing. So there were some other periods in adulthood where I went through some really, really intense episodes. And so it's important for me, I think, to be clear, too, that it's not – I'm not just talking about being stressed. I'm talking about diagnosable, incessant anxiety to the point of really not being able to function at different points in time. So it was pretty heavy-duty stuff. And I am so open about this also because I've gained so much in my recovery that I really want to be that voice of hope for others who are still struggling.
Well, I love that you opened this up with the stigma attached to mental health. Of course, I work in mental health too, so I totally understand the stigma, and it's really, and then we really want to break through those limitations and that those mindsets, because so that people can be open and seek the treatment that they need, because again, so many people are suffering and don't need to suffer. I think that's the main message that we want, and recovery is very, very possible. What do you think led you to being so anxious and having these panic attacks?
Honestly, I feel like it was one of my life lessons that I was just sort of born to face in this lifetime. You could say that, you know, part of what maybe set the stage was that at a very young age, my mom, I was probably only maybe 1.5, my mom suddenly disappeared. She had to go to the hospital for about a week. And that created a lot of separation anxiety in me after she returned. And a lot of fears of getting sick also, because she had to go into the hospital because she had a medical issue. So one person could look at it as like, oh, that's sort of the cause of it. I tend to just see that as sort of a manifestation of, you know, just a lesson, a life lesson that I was going to be confronting this time. So that's really, I'd say, the two different ways of looking at it.
So your perspective is that this is the means through which you came to understand and learn how to actualize yourself?
Absolutely. Anxiety has been the absolute number one greatest teacher in my life, and I'm actually grateful for it, and that can sound rather shocking and surprising because it is so painful that it forced me to look for another way. It forced me into really being open and willing to question, like, am I, the way that I'm seeing things, is this working? No. You know, I'm willing to try something different. So I look at it as a gift, as a really, really fantastic teacher, because it's honestly brought me exactly where I am today, which I'm doing what I love, I'm teaching a lot, and I just feel like there's no mistakes.
Well, that's beautiful. I think that's so important for anyone out there who's struggling, for sure, to know that their experiences are an opportunity, which is what I totally adhere to myself, to opportunities to really create an amazing life. And we know that by moving through it and by seeking the means to which we can overcome. So that just segues us right into that question, which, of course, everybody, I know I want to know, how did you overcome the anxiety? You were suffering, you were struggling.
Yeah.
What happened then?
This was a gradual healing process. It didn't happen overnight for me. And although, you know, initially when I first broke down with those panic attacks, I didn't want to turn to medication because at that point in time, I was afraid that I'd never go off of it, that I'd be too afraid to go off of it because I'd be afraid of the anxiety returning. So it was almost like I grabbed the bull by the horns and I was like, all right, I'm going to keep, you know, exploring different pathways until I find a real source of relief. And what I found in that, and I also want to just say that I am pro-medication. I think it can be very helpful for some people. I did rely on it for certain points later down the road, but at this first point in time, it was a matter of me not clouding the anxiety because I wanted to find where the real source of relief came from for me. And for me, that ended up being a real spiritual path and this pathway through meditation and mindfulness, because what I came to realize was that anxiety is like a barometer for me. The more anxious I am, the more I'm identified with my small self, the more I think I'm this separate person, you know, independent from everything else. And that was sort of my key, is that if the anxiety is stronger, I'm more identified with this small self. When I learn, as I learned, excuse me, that that's kind of an illusion, that actually I am connected to others and that love is within me, that's when the anxiety falls away. So I almost look at anxiety, again, from my experience, as a spiritual problem. And it was through finding a path of spirituality that helped me, and you know, that's what really worked for me. So everybody's path is going to be different, so it's important of exploring and finding something that resonates with you.
Well, what you're really saying is that you found that part of you, the hole in the soul that was needed to be filled, and it can be different for other people, but the theme behind it all, or the foundation, is that what in us that needs to be resolved, we need to find the means to fill that from within ourselves.
Yes.
Whatever we're seeking, we can fill. And that is that emptiness, that lack, that missing piece that we feel that is not, that something external cannot fulfill, that we need to feed. And,
exactly.
And that's the means through which you supported or moved through your anxiety.
Exactly.
And so for you, it was the connection. I think that's so important, because humans so easily feel alienated and isolated and alone. I mean, I hear that time after time in my work. That's the foundation of what people feel. I might feel isolated. I feel alone. I don't feel I have support. And so I think that's such a crucial part for any healing for anything in our lives, that sense of connection and support.
Yeah,
so
I just
in
read.
Terms of,
I'm sorry. I was just going to share real quick.
Go ahead.
Heard a quote by, I think it was by Rumi, do not feel lonely, the entire universe is within you. And that really resonated, that what you're saying, that everything that we're looking for is within ourselves.
Yes, yes. And the thing is about when you have, when you're struggling with a challenge like anxiety, you keep wanting to get away from yourself and avoid the pain.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
as a result, it exacerbates the problem, because you keep getting away from yourself rather than, you need to do the opposite, kind of go towards yourself and go towards the healing. But it's that fear of those emotions. So, I love what you're... I mean, again, congratulations to accomplishing this, not just accomplishing it for yourself, but now sharing it in this world. So what was your takeaway, your biggest lesson in this? What did you feel was, you talked about connecting.
Mm-hmm.
What did you
mm-hmm.
feel that was really the most empowering part, or the thing that really made the click, or the holding point, maybe what helps you to sustain well-being? Because I think that always is the question. Like, I can feel good today. How do I sustain this? How do I make this shift and hold on to it?
Right. Great question. So for me, that sustaining piece was getting acquainted with my inner teacher. And we might call this our higher self, our inner guide. A Course in Miracles, which is the spiritual pathway that I really resonate with, calls it the Holy Spirit. You can call it whatever you want to call it. What it is, though, is you can call it your intuition. It's that part of us, again, the part of our higher mind, that wisdom, that is still connected to everything, to love, and knows it, hasn't forgotten that. And so the key to sustaining for me has been learning how to become a better and better listener to that inner voice, to that inner guide. And I've learned how to become that better listener through my, you know, practice of A Course in Miracles, and also through my practice of mindfulness meditation, because mindfulness is all about getting into the present moment and being with, you know, what is, and that would enable me to recognize, hey, my mind is just off right now in the gutter. I don't, you know, necessarily want to be fueling these anxious thoughts or whatever kind of thoughts those are. I'm choosing to redirect my awareness to this breath, to this moment, to that love within me. And so that getting acquainted with that inner voice within myself has really been the absolute number one piece that's been sustaining for me.
I particularly love that message because, again, it's when I talked about us wanting, it's our defense mechanisms. We want to disappear, escape,
mm-hmm. yes.
run away,
yes.
avoid. And so, and we, the antidote to that is the opposite. So we kind of have to go counter-defensive for us to plug into hearing ourselves, being with ourselves. And again, anxiety makes you want to get away from yourself. So I think that what you're saying is so, for anyone listening, and it's whatever a person is struggling with, this is the key.
Mm-hmm.
Plugging back into yourself, getting connected to your own voice and to what's going on inside of you, and creating the space and time to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And do you feel that it was, because I mean, sometimes what people will say is, oh, I don't have the time, it's too hard, it's too difficult. What do you, how do you feel about that transformational journey? Did you, was it tough? The time consumption, like talk a little bit about that, because that is how we can create barriers and our people create barriers in their head about how difficult it has to be or tough.
Yeah, that's a great question and a great point that, you know, the resistance that there, from my perspective of practicing A Course in Miracles, we have pretty much these two voices in our mind. One is the voice of our inner teacher, and this other is the small voice that's full of judgment and tells us we're no good and that we can't do it. That's like the resistant part of ourselves. And my practice was always pretty much to get in touch with my willingness. Where is my willingness to see, you know, differently? And if I was and I would be honest with myself, like, no, I don't want to be present right now. But am I willing to be present? So I'd ask myself, you know, if I'm not willing right now to see this differently, am I willing to be willing? And if I stepped back, you know, and I'd keep going back, am I willing to be willing to be willing? Yes, there's a little willingness there. And then that willingness would be what I would essentially take to my inner teacher and say, okay, here's my willingness. I'm willing to, you know, have a shift surrounding this. So the time that it took, I had a lot of resistance in the beginning. A Course in Miracles has 365 lessons, so essentially it's like a meditation per day. It took me 4 years to get through them the first time, so I had, you know, lots of resistance. But now it's pretty much a constant practice for me, meaning there's more often than not, I feel like my inner voice, that love within me, is present to me because I want it to be. I have that willingness. There's more willingness there within me than there isn't because, again, the anxiety was such a strong driving force, like you said so perfectly, to get away from yourself. That's almost the purpose that it serves. It's and if we're talking about the difference between a lowercase s self and an uppercase s self, the anxiety wants to drive us away from our uppercase self, our higher self, and keep us in that, you know, lowercase s self. So I hope that sort of answers the question, that now, you know, it's sort of a constant piece, but a constant practice within me, but it took a while to get there.
No,
I did it through willingness.
Yeah, no, I love the willingness because that's it. I think that, I mean, we can be very protective as human species, so we really have to override that need to overprotect ourselves, which is where the anxiety comes from. It's fear-based, so we keep trying to protect ourselves, and it's the constant intention to create that shift because that's not the only force within us. We have these other forces within us to love, to be open, to be connected, and those will, the intention and the plug-in and the willingness to explore those parts is really what enables us to really open ourselves to our possibilities. Well, we do have to kind of wrap up now. You've offered us so many, Corinne, so much beautiful messages and so much insights, and I so appreciate you. Can you just wrap up with one quick final message for the listeners out there for their own empowerment and their own ability to embrace more love?
Absolutely. Remembering that there are no setbacks, that if you feel like you've made progress, but then anxiety shows up again, remember that it's just another layer of the onion. It's another piece coming to the surface to be healed. So it's another opportunity to choose love over fear. So there's never any setbacks. It's only ever progress.
Well, I love that. I say that all the time. There's no such thing as backwards. It's just just more learning. So I think that's key. Beautiful, beautiful wrap-up for us today. Well, we certainly want to know more about Corinne, that's for sure. Check out her website, fromanxietytolove.com. And then, of course, her link is in the message board below. And it's, again, fromanxietytolove.com. Corinne offers a free webinar for students on mindfulness. And so it's a course in mindfulness. So please check out her website. She works with you wherever you are. Thank you, Corinne, for all of your amazing insights. And again, congratulations on your personal transformation as a beacon to light, of light for all of us in this world.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Many blessings.
You too.
Beautiful, beautiful message on the miracle of love again. That's what our theme is today. We have more. Going to take a quick break. My next guest is Barbara Journal. She's the author of One a Day Isn't Just for Vitamins, and we're going to have a great time with Barbara in just a minute.
If you want the best way to heal from life challenges, get Erica Tucci's powerful book, Radiant Survivor, How to Shine and Thrive Through Recovery from Stroke, Cancer, Abuse, Addiction, and Other Life-Altering Experiences. Erica Tucci's remarkable book of healing is available now on Amazon. Find out more at www.radiantsurvivor.com.
Welcome back. You're tuned into Out on the Limb Radio with Dr. Nicola Bird. My next guest is author Barbara Journal. Barbara is the author of One a Day Isn't Just for Vitamins. She will share strategies for positive living. Barbara, thank you so much for being here. It's a pleasure to have you.
Thank you for having me.
So, Barbara, I know that self-doubt is something that everyone struggles with and can really prevent us from accomplishing our goals or feeling happy in ourselves. It places a lot of limitations on us. How do we go from self-doubt to believing in ourselves and believing that we are capable of great things?
Well, you know, writing the book was a journey for me. I experienced heartbreak when I was a very young child. When I was 9 years old, I had three brothers that were killed in a car crash.
It threw the
entire family unit apart. And it was like, even though I was 9 years old and I had a younger sister as well, we just sort of, you know, worked separately and we weren't coming together as a family unit. We weren't there to, you know, hold each other's hands and get through this. So it was a heartbreak, but in a way, it made me the person that I am today. We can dwell on the negative, but it brings negativity to your life. Dwelling on the positive, positivity is powerful. Look for the good in everything, and that's what I tend to do. I started writing when I was 9 years old, mind you. It was a 9 year old. It was a journal, but everything I wrote in it, which I reread a couple of weeks ago, everything I wrote in that journal was positive, and that's how I've tried to live my life. I find the positive in everything, and when you do that, and you leave negativity, as I like to say, buried in the backyard, you see the light. You can shine. You can see the good in other people. Negativity is all around us. It will always be all around us, but you have to choose to leave it behind. And that's what I try to tell people when I do my little talks is, you know, don't worry about, you know, what happened yesterday. It's history. You can't redo it. Focus on what's good and what's here and what's now and let yourself shine.
Well, Barbara, that's just so beautiful. People are always talking about positivity and how important it is, and it's always so insightful, inspirational when someone has gone through a journey like yours. It's such an early, informative stage in their life, and able to transform or transcend the challenge and hold on to the beauty and the light and the love and the positivity in this world and inside themselves despite these particular challenges. How did you feel? I mean, you're so young at 9. Where do you think this came from that you were able to just tap into this positivity in the face of so much immediate, so much tragedy and so much loss all in one?
Up until that time, going to church was something that you did on Sunday with your parents. And when the accident happened, I remember asking my Sunday school teacher where people go when they die. And she gave me a sermon about heaven and God and the love. And I said to her, okay, like, I'm 9 years old. Can you please talk to me like I'm 9 years old? And she sat down with me, and we had a conversation that I still think of today. And yes,
wow.
You know, I do believe there is a higher power. I find myself, I believe I am more spiritual than I am religious.
Mm-hmm.
I do go to church. I have conversations with people. I'm not afraid to talk about God or a higher power. And that in itself is positive and uplifting. And even for somebody who doesn't go to church or necessarily believe in a higher power, it is a very positive message. And you think about it, it's like the earth didn't come here by itself. And, you know, one day it was just not, you know, it's not like, well, where did this come from? Where did this come from? And it makes people think about, well, yeah, maybe there is a higher power. Maybe there's another force here, and we have to give it a chance. And that's what I did at 9 years old. I gave it a chance, and I experienced life, I believe, through all of my years now, and I'm over 50, the way it's supposed to be lived, the positive. Think of the positive. Don't worry about the negative.
Hmm. Well, I think, again, it's just so I think that one of the things that stands out for me is how much you this became, that how important it is to become the way you look at the world. It's not something that you can just do randomly, I think positive on May 25th or something like that. It really is a way that we learn to discipline ourselves, so to speak, to process information, our experiences from a lens that opens us up to more greatness, more love, again, more positivity. And certainly your story just really illuminates how powerful that is and the long-lasting impact it has on our life to create transformation and to transcend even the most difficult, painful, and heart-wrenching experiences of life.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that people try to make things too complicated. It's like, you know, life is not perfect. It comes with problems. It comes with challenges. And the best that we can do with it is, you know, take it one day at a time, one step at a time. I like to say that one step forward is always better than two steps back. And, you know, everything we hear, we think, we say, we do, everything in life is important. And when you live life in a positive light and you are true to all that you hold dear, then you will see the goodness and light.
Mm-hmm. I think that when people hear this and they're having challenges with holding on to the positive, I think that they can people start to think like it's you're denying things, you're denying the negative, you're pretending it's not there. And what you're saying just really helps us to really shift from that mindset and to recognize it's not about, you're not ignoring the negative, you're not denying it, you're not pretending it's not there, you're not lying to yourself. It's more how you're tending, what you're taking away, that positive lesson, the positive information through the challenges to see the beauty in all things and to be able to gleam again. There's always something positive no matter what we're experiencing, and to focus on that rather than get fixated on the pain, the difficulty, or the challenge.
Absolutely, and I wholeheartedly believe that. It's like we all have negativity in our lives. We all go through hard times. But if you can find one thing that's positive about the situation that you're going through, then it helps you to move on, to get through the negativity that's going on in your life, to get through to the next step, and then you'll find yourself going through the next step and the next step. It becomes easier if as time goes on. Like, I mean, I've lived like this since I was 9 years old. You always find the positive. And, you know, something very, very small, it's like, well, yeah, you know, I wouldn't have experienced this if I hadn't gone through that. So, you know, when it becomes a way of life, it is something that I don't think about anymore. It just kind of happens.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I think that's so important. It's the whole message that it's just a continuum. It's just once you create it, it becomes part of how you think and how you process the world, then that's just the way you are going to be experiencing the lens to which you're looking at life. And conversely, if you're constantly repeating to yourself and informing yourself about stories that are painful and negative and difficult, that's the lens through which you will see everything. So it doesn't really offer you an opportunity to open up, to change, or to see things differently. It'll become the way it is for you, and that's the power that we have to change how what we're experiencing really does change for how we are experiencing and perceiving it. And so for those out there who are doubtful, because I know there will be like, oh, but I've had this pain and that pain. But again, you lost your brothers all in one go, and the pain and the difficulty and the hardship and the family, I mean, I'm sure everyone's out there goes, oh, my goodness, I can't even imagine that kind of thing happening and how you overcome it. And yet here you are thriving. And I think one of the messages that I really like to bring up in this show is that it's not about surviving, it's about thriving through difficulties. We can all survive. People, you know, we can survive on nothing but not be thriving. You're taking it to the whole level of thriving.
Yes.
How do you feel now that has impacted your life? Now, you've talked about learning positive lessons and seeing the good in everything and what you can take out of it. You came from that. Where do you feel your life is now as a result of this plugging into this positive thinking?
Well, you know, I believe that life itself is a wonderful educator. Mm. We have to open ourselves up to listen to what life is telling us. You know, my journey has been an eye-opener. It really has. Mm-hmm. If I, you know, think back over the years and yeah, like it's second, like I said, it's second nature to me, but I had to work at it at the beginning. And when you work at it, you work at it and you believe in yourself, and that's something that's very difficult to do for a lot of people, is believing in themselves. My mother used to say, if you don't believe in yourself, no one else is going to believe in you. So, you know, that was a big lesson in itself. And when I started believing in myself and not trying to make things complicated, that's when everything started opening up. That's when I could understand myself more, understand my beliefs more, and understand that I did not have to complicate things to make myself look better for anybody else, because the only person I had to make myself look better to is myself. And then everybody else would see that as well. And, you know, there is a lot of truth to that. Everything that I've done in my life, it's motivated by positivity. And once you can harness that, then doors will open up. You believe in yourself, other people will believe in you. You get better at what you do, other people will notice that, and they'll help you get through to the next step. So it's all, you know, there's no blueprint to life. We all go through bad times. We all go through good times. But you have to try to find something that's positive in bad times in order to continue on with the good times.
Beautiful message. One question that's been popping up in my mind is, was this common throughout your family? Was your whole family in that? Were you the only one? Like, what was your family dynamic like? in the tragedy?
Well, after the boys died, it was pretty dysfunctional, and it still remains. The family unit is dysfunctional. Unfortunately, my parents have passed on, but I have two sisters and a brother left, and my younger sister is very much like me. She believes in the positive, and she believes that, you know, all good things can come to all people. My brother and my other sister, pretty much, they don't believe in much of anything. They're agnostics. Well, one's an agnostic, one's an atheist, and they don't see what my younger sister and I see. They won't open themselves up to the possibility of everything having a positive message to it. So it's really hard with them, but this is how they choose to live their life. We can't change them. They have to change themselves. And that's like everybody. You have to change yourself. Someone is not going to come around and change you. They could give you all of the information, but you have to take that step to change.
I mean, again, that's really, it's so important for us to understand that we're not trying to rescue others when we're making our own transformation. If they want it, there is an invitation, but it's not a forced thing. Where you talk about the dysfunction in your family, and we're going to do a quick wrap-up, but just very quickly, I guess my question was, did you have to fight to hold on to your positivity in your family, or was it accessible in your family?
No, I didn't have to.
9 years old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I didn't have to fight to hold on to it. It was something that was always inside me, but my family didn't try to discourage me from trying to find the positive, trying to be the best person that I could be. They didn't necessarily believe in the way that I was doing it, but they didn't discourage me from it either.
Right. Okay. Because I think that sometimes when we're in environments, and I think that's an important message, that, you know, not all environments might be inviting to what is our own truth, but we hold on to it through our constant intention and focus and discipline to be connected to what is healthy for us and our well-being. And mm-hmm. you talked about being in the dysfunctionality and different challenges that you face and still maintaining what I call your own personal integrity. I think that's a really powerful and important message.
Yeah.
Well, we do need to wrap up, Barbara. Can you leave the listeners with, which I always invite, a takeaway for how they can harness more positivity in their lives?
Oh, absolutely. The advice that I usually give is this. In order to be the best, you have to give your best. Make it a point to leave everything that you found better than the way it was before, and because of that, you will become a better person. When things are difficult, find ways to make them better. Even the smallest improvement can make a big difference. With improvement comes knowledge. With knowledge comes experience. With experience comes opportunity. It's up to all of us to take advantage of that and be the best human beings that we can be.
Beautiful takeaway. Thank you for your message and the being tapped into your positivity in the face of challenge and providing us with that incredible message and inspiration for all the listeners and for all of us out there moving through our own challenges. And so Barbara's book is One a Day Isn't Just for Vitamins. That's, again, One a Day Isn't Just for Vitamins. And she is Barbara Journal, and you can find her book on Amazon and any other places. Barbara?
Yes, Chapters Indigo, as well as Barnes & Noble, and the iUniverse is the publisher, their website. I direct everybody to Amazon.com because that's the easiest to remember, and just key in my name and it'll pop up.
Well, it's a nice, easy name to remember, Barbara Journal. And again, her information is also in the message board below. Thank you, Barbara, for your insights.
Thank you, Dr. Bird.
Have a wonderful day.
You too.
Great show, The Miracle of Love. Amazing. It's incredible transformation. The message today is plug into it. Plug in, and it's accessible, and it has incredible power to transform and to create amazing, thriving life for all of us. Let's make it our mission to really focus on every moment, the miracle of every moment in our life. Our breath is a miracle. Let's be grateful, and let's keep plugged into the love within us and the positivity within us to move us through and to inspire us every moment of the day. This is Dr. Nicola Bird. To get more insights in how you can lead your best life possible, go to my website, www.thewellness-network.com. Join my mailing list. Check out all the amazing experts there, because there's so much insight and incredible tips and information and tools for living the amazing life that you deserve. Thank you for tuning in. Remember to spread the joy and share Out on the Limb show and network with all your friends. Keep in mind that sometimes you do need to go out on that limb to achieve the happy, healthy, and successful life that you deserve. I'm Dr. Nicola Bird. See you right here tomorrow for another insightful and entertaining segment of Out on the Limb.
You're tuned into Out on the Limb Radio with Dr. Nicola Bird in partnership with Beauty and Wellness TV. Tune in Monday to Friday, 5 p.m. Eastern and 2 p.m. Pacific.